5 p.m. And I would like to call the Thursday, May 19th, 2022 Safe Food Advisory Committee meeting to order. First, I will cover some Zoom logistics, after which we will complete a roll call so everyone can hear who is attending and announce whether we have quorum. So this meeting is being recorded. You are responsible for muting and unmuting yourself. Those who are members, keep your cameras on. Those who are not, cameras off. And please stay muted when you're not speaking so that we can hear everyone clearly today. If you have a question or comment, please ask to be recognized in the chat box. No site conversations in the chat box, only official business, as the chat box is public record. And this meeting is following Robert Rules of Order. Therefore, to keep things moving along in Zoom today, I'm hoping to have volunteers for first and second motions. Next on our agenda is roll call, and I want to thank Devin for helping me. Devin, could you do roll call, please?
Yes, of course. And I also wanted to make note that there is not a chat feature for this type of meeting. So in case anybody's wondering if something's wrong with their Zoom, it's not, there's not. All right, so when I call your name, feel free to respond however you feel is appropriate. Susan Bulgren. Susan Bulgren. Scott Lynch. Scott Lynch. Wally Borowski.
Present.
Thank you. Wally Borowski, present. Guanming Shi. Guanming Shi. Carrie Brett. Carrie Brett. Sherry Schweitzer.
Present.
Sherry. Bill Von Rutenberg.
Present.
Justin G. Zhang. Justin G. Zhang. Okay. Robert Miller.
Here.
And Derek Bruinwald.
Here.
Anyone missing? And I think, oh, Susan Kwong is our invited guest. All right, I believe we have quorum.
The next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. That's file number 71397, minutes for the Safe Food Advisory Committee that we have recorded for July 11th, 2019. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Did I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I have Bill as.
Bill, motion to approve the minutes. Can I have a second?
Second.
Bob seconded. Motion to approve minutes for July 11th, 2019. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes for July 11th, 2019? Seeing none, if there's no objection, the record will reflect unanimous approval of the minutes from July 11th, 2019. Is there any objection to the unanimous approval of the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. And we can move on to operator reports. And this is your chance to share with our team how things are going with all of you. And I see Wally smiling. I can't wait.
I don't have a PG version of how things are going, so I'll just keep it to myself.
Oh, Wally. Well, I'll speak up. We're busy as hell, but there's no help. And we have an offer pending on the Notting Hill property. This is Bill.
Thank you, Bill, for sharing that.
Bonnie? If it's all right, I can give just a quick synopsis of what we're hearing from folks in Dane County. Right now, we definitely have, folks that are, we have a lot of winners and losers, I think, right now in the restaurant game. Like Bill said, like every government agency and everybody else, we're all looking to fill positions that are open. And I know that there's a lot of open positions out in all of the businesses, and we're all fighting for a lot of for the qualified people that are out there. But what we're also seeing is that, we do have a group of restaurants, excuse me, cats in the way, who are still very much on the bubble of not being in business by the end of this year. There are a lot of folks took on a lot of debt and a lot of other expenses, exhausted their entire, reserves and savings accounts and mortgaged their houses and everything else to stay in business over the last 2 years. And with the change in the economy regarding inflation of, the inflationary costs relating to all of the goods and services they use, plus 20 plus percent increase in wages, we have quite a few restaurants that are probably not are going to close before the end of the year. I don't have a perfect number for Dane County, but we do know that there's about 3,800 restaurants that did not get the Restaurant Revitalization Fund funding, which got voted down again in Congress today. And 40% of those, according to our survey, 50% according to another survey, say that they will close by the end of the year. So that's 3,800 restaurants, of which, we're talking, 1,900 restaurants in the entire state that are going to close. And a huge number of those are in the urban areas that are in Dane County. So I think that's going to be a continued issue for the industry that, like Bill said, we're busy as hell, but they're not open full time. They don't have every table is able to be staffed. They're not open every day because of staffing. And the profit margins are even tighter than they ever were. So for a lot of restaurants, that's going to continue. And I think, you're going to see that in the other retail trades as well. That's just kind of be the lay of the landscape for a while. So I don't know what your folks will see out in the field. But as I was trying to tell some folks from some other departments for the city this morning, just be aware of the economic situation that folks are in right now. And we do have winners, winners and losers in this whole game. Just to keep that in mind as you move forward in working with the operators.
Thank you, Susan, for sharing. Bonnie, you're on mute. Anyone else? Any other operators that want to share an update? If there are no other updates, we can move on to, I have a director update. Stephanie will be providing a food program update. Happy to have continued discussions around that as well. So as you know, we haven't met since September of 2019. And Susan was sharing so much has transpired during that time. So Doug Bagley, the previous environmental health director, retired in July of 2021, and that led to a series of promotions within our department. I was promoted to the director position. Thus, right now, I'm giving you the director updates. And when I was promoted to this position, Stephanie Mossrow, lead worker at the time, was promoted to the environmental health services supervisor position. And I'd just like to pause and allow Stephanie to turn on her camera and wave and introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. It's good to see all you guys again.
And very excited to have Stephanie leading the food program as our supervisor. And I also want to acknowledge another promotion. Janice Blackbanks, a sanitarian, was then promoted to the lead worker position. And Janice, I see that you're on. Could you turn on your camera and wave and introduce yourself to everyone?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my camera on. Oh, okay.
Hi.
There she is. Okay. So many of you on the call probably have had myself, Stephanie, and Janice as your health inspector at one point in time or another. So thank you, Janice. Very excited to have Stephanie in the supervisor position and Janice in the lead worker position. During this time, we also hired our new environmental health services supervisor, Ronisha Strozier, and I would like Ronisha to turn on her camera, wave, and introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Ronisha, and like Bonnie said, I'm the new supervisor here, and happy to meet y'all.
Thanks, Ronisha. We've had many changes in our program, and we've had to do a lot of adjustments ourselves because of the pandemic and the work that we do here at Public Health. The last time we met, we were actually discussing a 17% increase in fees to build capacity with two additional sanitarian positions, one of which is bilingual and multicultural, and the other environmental health services supervisor, which is Ronisha Strozier today. We also incorporated a more equitable sliding scale for pre-inspections and re-inspections. However, when the pandemic hit, we had to revert back to our old fee structure, and we did so in order to support our licensed establishment operators. And just for timing to jog your memory, we had increased our fees 17% across the board with all our licensed establishment operators on January 1 of 2020. We quickly reverted back in April of 2020, understanding that the pandemic was already having a grave economic impact on all of you. And in 2021, we remained with those reverted fees, and we also gave our operators a 30% COVID credit at renewal season. This licensing renewal season, we will also continue with the lower fee structure as we have in the past 2 years. We are also looking for continued opportunities to give back to our operators. However, we too are experiencing the need to increase costs. So for this reason, we are intending to return back to the 17% increase in fees during the licensing year of 2023. We understand the economic burdens that all of you are facing. Therefore, we are also looking for ways we can continue to support all of you. And one way is to give back the salary savings that occurred when our program staff was working in the incident command structure during the pandemic. So I am going to be going to a budget review in July and proposing to have a graduated COVID credit to give back to our licensed operators at renewals over the next 3 years. What that may look like is a 15% credit on your renewals in 2023, a 10% credit in 2022, and a 5% credit in 2023. Then in 2024, a 10%, and then in 2025, a 5%. So this graduated credit back will help soften the increase in fees that are necessary to run our program. And this proposal will be presented this budget season, and I hope to be giving you an update at our next Safe Food Advisory Committee meeting as to that outcome. I also wanted to share with you, our program has been awarded a grant of about $120,000 to work on the FDA retail food program standards over the next 3 years. This is a program for maintaining and conforming to standards of excellence within a food program. Part of these funds are also going to be used to continue the work on the satisfaction survey that you had helped us with the last time we met. And this survey will have a voluntary equity component built in to better understand opportunities for addressing biases and improving equitable outcomes when our sanitarians are performing their inspections. So I look forward to our continued partnership and ways that we can learn how we can work with all of you, our food operators, for improving our relationships, for increasing quality results, and for ultimately reducing foodborne illness and creating a safer food for our community. This idea of giving back to you in this graduated manner is just one way, and I look forward to hearing from you other ways that we can be supporting you. And I'll offer up if there's any questions for me. If there are no questions, we can move on to the food program updates. Stephanie?
All right, so I don't know how this works, you guys. So is my camera supposed to be on or off?
On.
Okay, great. So food program updates. So we've hired a couple of new sanitarians, and they're on today. So I am excited to introduce them. The first one is Clancy. He actually has been with the health department for, I believe, a little over 3 years. Or 3 years-ish, I guess. But he started with us as an environmental health technician and has just recently transitioned into a sanitarian. So Clancy, if you could just turn on your camera for a minute and wave, that would be great. Thanks. the next employee that we have hired, his name is Jose Nieves Cortez. And he is a bilingual multicultural sanitarian with us. And he has a background where he ran restaurants for over 20 years. He's also taught ServSafe. And so he brings a great perspective to our current team. And Jose, if you could turn on your camera and wave, that would be great too. Thank you. And then the last update that I have is we have Brian Johnson. He is he's the recycling coordinator with the City of Madison Streets Division, and they are working on putting together a magnet that restaurants can just put up in their kitchen areas. And it just has some general information about food donations. And what I'll do after this meeting is I will send you out a copy of that, and you can take a look at it. And if you have any comments or feedback, that would be great. And those are my updates for right now. Any questions? All right.
Steph, can you tell us a little bit more about the food donation fact sheet, or is that more of a Brian thing?
That would be more of a Brian thing. And it's okay. Just that what he wanted, he's putting together a magnet that you guys can put on your refrigerators, obviously, it's a magnet. And it just has some general information about food donations, like how to do it safely and, you know, some phone numbers to call if you want to do that sort of thing. So it's just some basic information, or if you can't give it you know, to a food pantry or something like that, you know, kind of talks about what your other options are for disposing of the food.
So it's more coordinated through waste disposal, or say, like, obviously he's in charge of that department, but then Pelletary might be the ones who pick it up or something. He's kind of maybe coordinating that with them.
Yeah, they're working. Yeah, it's quite a large project that they're working on. And this was just kind of a an opportunity for us to partner with other agencies as well as with you guys too, and kind of figure out, you know, get your input as to what makes sense to have on the magnet.
Yeah, cool.
Thanks.
Next on the agenda is discussion. So this is your time, you know, to ask us any questions or discuss any items or bring up any other things that you think are pertinent for improving our food safety program and our relationships with our licensed establishment operators.
Bonnie, I was hoping for an update on what might be a little bit of a sore subject, and that is like status of inspection. I know that like so many years have put you guys behind, and it's one thing after the other, you know, really. I think we might have even been talking a little bit about this in 2019. Maybe being behind, and some of that is because of new hires, which are great. But I get the question a lot, and I'm just really looking for some feedback on what is the best thing to be telling the operators. I sometimes think it's kind of good to be like, they could come anytime, but you know, if that's, I'll just be honest. I'm sensing frustration amongst people at times, and they'll say, well, they haven't, you know, I haven't seen my inspector for 2 years. What's going on? And then I'll try to say, well, okay, well, if it was a pandemic, we all know that. And also lots of hiring and training, and that takes time. And but I just along that line of questions, if there's any kind of an update you can provide or advice towards that.
Well, I'll share broadly, and then I'll have Stephanie fill in. You know, even just a year ago, half of our staff were still working as contact tracers in the incident command structure. And we did not get back that staff until January. So we're here in May. We just haven't had enough time back in our program to make a dent. And there are still two sanitarians that are in that incident command structure. And because of the promotions, we are still short one sanitarian and one technician. So just acknowledging that we are in a better place than last year, and we are doing more inspections than we did last year and the year before. However, we still are not full staffed, and we're working very hard to get full staff, to get fully trained up so that we can be back to 100% of completion for our regulatory inspections. But I'd love Stephanie to share more because she is in the thick of it.
yeah, so we are going to hire within the next year, we'll be hiring two more sanitarians yet. So that, again, will help us to build capacity so that we can get more inspections done. This year, looks like we're going to get 50% more inspections done this year than we did last year. So that's pretty significant. And then our other goal this year is to make sure that we've inspected all the facilities that haven't had an inspection since the 2018-2019 licensing year. Now that's just to get those caught up and done. Of course, we've done inspections for other, you know, establishments within other licensing years. We just didn't want to get further behind than that even. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And, You know, as you guys know, you know, we do inspections of lots of different facilities. It isn't just food. We do pool inspections, body piercing, manufactured home communities, hotels, campgrounds, rec ed camps. So, you know, we're really trying really hard to get those inspections done. And like I said, we're on par right now to do 50% more than we did last year. So that's great. And then our intentions are to keep bumping up that number until we should be at 100% within the next 2 to 3 years is our goal.
Now, I would also like to add that we do prioritize when we approach our inspections. So if we have new operators who are trying to open, we always try to prioritize them and support their opening of their business. If we haven't seen somebody for a long time, they're going to be on our higher priority list. And then we base our approach to that list by risk. So if it's a higher risk establishment, we're going to try to go there first. However, when we receive complaints or foodborne illness outbreak investigations that we have to complete, those are going to take a very high priority, and we're going to be working on those first. So some of that prioritization does impact our ability to get to all of our inspections as well.
Bonnie, with the way things are, if there is a foodborne illness inspection, I know it used to not count as the actual annual inspection, but has there been any change to that? So you've got to go on site for a foodborne illness investigation. I know it might not have been, might not be like the true full annual, but how are you counting that with it on consideration of all that's going on?
I'll quickly answer and have Stephanie chime in. No, it is not a regulatory inspection, and I'll let Stephanie pick up from here.
Yes, that's correct. And just to clarify, so there's foodborne illness complaints, and then there's actual foodborne illness outbreaks. So if it's a complaint, we might combine the complaint with a routine inspection. A complaint is more of an opportunity for us just to come out, provide education, just say, hey, we got a complaint. We don't think it's an outbreak at this point. We don't have multiple people sick, just, you know, one or just a family. If it's an actual outbreak where there's more than one person that is sick and they're not within the same household, that's considered an outbreak. And then that would not be part of the routine inspection. Those are kept very separate, and that is information that comes down from the FDA and the CDC, just making sure that we're really focusing those investigations and trying to figure out the environmental antecedents. So it's very different than a routine inspection.
And I want to add to that, those inspections that are done as part of a foodborne illness investigation are also not found on our routine regulatory inspection database that is online. So if people were going online to view your past inspection history, those investigations will not show up in that database. And that's intentional because of the HIPAA information that may be within those investigations. So anyone else that wants to contribute to the discussion, you are welcome to unmute yourself and ask any questions or bring up anything that you would like to discuss. I want to give you all ample time. I'd love to hear from each and every one of you before we close this meeting. So I'll give you a few more minutes.
I guess I have a question for you.
Hi, Bill.
Since inspections are fee-based, right, still, let's say the worst-case scenario Susan was talking about comes true and you lose a bunch of establishments. How does that affect your budget and the ability to continue your work?
That's a really good question, Bill, and I really appreciate Susan keeping that on our radar. You know, we're approaching our work as we have based on past history. Usually when people go out of business, there's opportunistic operators right behind that want to go back into business. And it actually creates and has during this pandemic additional work. So I'm hopeful that that will happen. But if it doesn't, we're going to have to contract in order to, you know, to address the new climate. I'm sorry, go ahead, Bill.
Pardon?
Did you have something else you wanted to add, Bill?
Nope. No.
So we had a similar, I mean, this, we have never had anything similar to this pandemic, let's just be clear. But in the past, and I'm trying to think, I think it was 2006 or seven, where we had that impact on our economy and a lot of people went out of business. We actually had more business here as far as our food safety program, because many people were right behind going in business. We actually saw that play out the last 2 years with as many, and I ran the numbers once, but about 20% of the businesses went out of business and about 15% of them were back in business before the end of the licensing year as a different or new owner that we're working with. Now, I hear what Susan's saying. We have, I mean, with those statistics, I don't know if that's going to continue to carry forward. But right now, we're gearing up for that, and we'll contract if need be. I'm sorry, I heard somebody else that sounded like they wanted to speak. And I think most of you on this call are aware our licensed establishment program is 100% fee funded. So the funds that are coming in are supporting the sanitarians that are performing that work and providing the education and creating those relationships with their operators. So there is a direct correlation, Bill.
It will be interesting to see. We clearly can't know what that's going to be now, but maybe at our next meeting, you could provide us an update, Bonnie, on what establishments did not renew by, you know, June, or some of them will be late or something, but I can't remember when our next meeting is, but it's a ways out.
We do run that data occasionally, and I would be happy to provide that data of how many places renewed, how many places went out of business, how many new places are going into business in our city and throughout our county. And if you want some more granular data and you know what that is, I would encourage all of you to email Stephanie so that we can be providing that at our next meeting. Any more discussion? If none, then this meeting stands adjourned and the time is 2:40 p.m. And the next meeting for the Safe Food Advisory Committee is October 2022. Do I have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
Motion.
Motion accepted. Meeting adjourned.
Be glad to see everybody in person for a change.
I'm hoping for that at our next meeting. That would be really nice. We've planned on that and hoping for that.
Not real good at the Zoom.